If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be back. Haven't been here for a bit of time, so it's extra special to spend some time with each and every one of you. Been away for Yontif, and from what I understand, in every single Shul Simchas Torah this year was extraordinary. It was a time the Jews showed a tremendous sense of unity, a sense of joy, an expression of somehow trying to connect with each other, trying to connect with that which happened last year, trying to connect with an episode in Jewish history which will be unforgettable, trying to understand what happened and trying to make sense of a world that's gone mad. Simchas Torah this year was, throughout the world, a tremendous expression of Jewish joy. Because ultimately, joy is that which breaks down every single barrier. And there are so many barriers that keep us from each other, barriers sometimes that keep us from God, and barriers that keep us from fulfilling our purpose in the world. The world is standing up against us in so many different ways. And it's important that we do whatever we can to sell the idea of who and what we are to the world. We are children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. We are children that believe, we are children that build, we are children that have brought to this world so much good, so much greatness, and the world must learn to appreciate that. And this year in Simchas Torah, I think the world saw that just a little bit, and it's important that they see it more and more. And of course, the Shabbos Project, a huge, huge shout out, a huge yesher koach to our wonderful Chief Rabbi, Rabbi Warren Goldstein, whose great initiative this is, whose idea this is. Throughout the world, many, many, many thousands, tens of thousands of Jews will be observing and celebrating this Shabbos. And again, a tremendous message to the Jewish communities of the world, to the world generally, that we are here. And we dedicate our lives to the observance of God's commandments. And Shabbos is that expression. When we recognize God as creator of heaven and earth, we recognize God as the one who took us out of Egypt. We recognize God who continues to lead us throughout history. We recognize God as the one who continues to shower blessing upon each and every one of us. Shabbos is the day of rest, and it's not only rest in the simple sense of the word. It's a day that we understand what the inner meaning of Menuchas HaNefesh means. The rest of peace of mind, peace of the soul, peace of heart, peace with each other, and of course, ultimately, the great blessing of peace on earth in the fullest sense of the word. And throughout the world, this Shabbos will be celebrated and observed by so many. And here in South Africa, of course, we're so very proud of the fact that it all began here, right here in our country. South Africa, so far away, as many people think, from many of the Jewish centers of the world, but yet the light of Shabbos shines from this country throughout the world, to every single corner of the world. I have children in many, many places throughout the world. And they tell me what, in fact, their communities are doing in order to celebrate the Shabbos again with tremendous joy, tremendous pride. And they are, in fact, so proud, saying that they are South Africans and this is where it all began. So to our Chief Rabbi, to this wonderful community, to Jews throughout the world, this is going to be a good Shabbos. And the great challah bake that took place here in Johannesburg last night, so many women standing and kneading the challah and making the bracha. and bringing about a tremendous sense of blessing, a sense of blessing that elevates the world. It's not only baking a kitka, it's elevating the world. It's making a tremendous, tremendous positive change. If we could only see clearly, if we could see the actual effect of these actions, we would be blown away. But unfortunately, we live in a very physical world, and it's the natural things we see. We don't see beyond the obvious, and that is what we have to do, to learn how to see beyond the veil that often disguises the truth that's taking place. When a woman needs the challah for Shabbos and takes the piece and makes the bracha on the challah, this is a tremendous expression of blessing, of changing things. Our sages tell us what in fact takes place is an elevation of the entire world. When a Jewish family together celebrates and observes Shabbos in the fullest sense of the word, this makes a tremendous change in the entire process of creation. We could hardly imagine what takes place. And when it's done on a scale of the Shabbos project throughout the world, we can't even imagine what takes place. So to all those who are listening, wherever you are, huge, huge yeshar koach. May the Shabbos be all that it's meant to be. May it bring you the blessing that is intended. May it bring you joy. May it bring you unity as you walk to shul, as you walk home from shul, as you sit at your Shabbos table, as you hear Kiddush being made, as you make the bracha on the challah, as you eat your Shabbos meal, as you sing your songs, as you talk about that which should be discussed at a Shabbos table. Do it with a tremendous sense of joy. Do it with a tremendous sense of pride. Do it as Jews, and we'll talk about the eternal people. Do it and wake up in the morning and do it all over again. Walk together as a family to shul. Daven together. Hear the Torah being read together. If you have a bracha in shul, which I'm sure you will, the Kiddush, enjoy that. And wherever you're having lunch, whether at shul, at a friend, or at home, again, do it with a tremendous sense of joy. Hashem should give each and every one of us strength. We need that. We need the strength to be proud. We need the strength to show who we are, not only to others, but to ourselves. And when we have that inner strength within ourselves, it really displays to everything and everyone around us how strong we truly are. And this is why this Shabbos is so important. This Shabbos is so great. This Shabbos is so necessary, particularly in our times, when there are so many throughout the world who want to bring darkness, who want to bring anger, who want to bring hate, who want to bring hurt to people. We have to bring love. We have to bring light. We have to bring unity. We have to bring joy. We have to bring the blessing of God. And what better way than through the fulfillment of God's commandments? They are full of joy, and they are full of light, and they are full of love, and they are full of God's great blessings, and they make tremendous change. They make tremendous positive change in the world. Every single mitzvah counts. Every single action counts. Every single thing that we do, individually, collectively, ourselves, as a family, as a community, as a people throughout the world, let's do it together. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking about the power of mitzvahs. We're talking about the power of doing God's commandments in this world. But let's take a look at the Parsha, and let's take a look about the Parsha within the context of the time that we're living in. The Parsha is Vayera, and it takes place during the month of Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan is a special month. because it comes right after the incredible month of Tishrei. Tishrei is a full month filled with moments of joy, moments of reflection, moments of, well, every single moment during the month of Tishrei is filled with intensity, holy intensity, time of prayer, time of connecting with God in different ways through repentance, through joy, through dancing, through singing, through prayer. And then comes Mar Cheshvan. What is Cheshvan? Cheshvan is the time that we return home. We leave the intensity and joy of the great month of Tishrei, and we unpack all that greatness, all the spirituality, all the intensity. We unpack it into our daily lives. In the days that the temple was standing and Jews made the pilgrimage during the month of Tishrei, during the festival of Sukkot in particular, and they would go home by the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, they were home, and they began to pray for rain, because on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, every single Jew was back home, even those who lived the furthest away. And Mar Cheshvan is connected with rain. But on the other hand, it's connected with a different type of rain as well, because the great flood that we read about a couple of weeks ago during the Parsha of Noach, the great flood that destroyed the world, took place during the month of Mar Cheshvan as well. So we're faced with a complex connection, complex emotions during the month of Cheshvan. On the one hand, it's a time that we pray for rain, that which the world absolutely needs to grow, to develop. Humans need it, animals need it, the ground needs it, the world of vegetation needs it. On the other hand, rain also reminds us of those bitter and difficult times of the great flood. How do we deal with all of that? How do we relate to all of that? How do we look at the month of Cheshvan and use it correctly? How do we unpack the spiritual intensity of Tishrei and we use it correctly so the rain is a blessing and not, God forbid, something which can be destructive? And the answer to that is we have to look at the Parsha. And the Parsha is Vayera. And he appeared. Who appeared? God appeared. To whom did he appear? To Abraham. And why did he appear to Abraham? Because Abraham was recovering from the circumcision. He was 99 years old, and he circumcised himself. God told him to. 99 years old. Vayera. God appeared to him. And the entire Parsha is called Vayera. It's as if something extraordinary took place. And we wonder, because in the previous Parsha, we know that God appeared to Abraham a great many times, telling him to do various different things. So why make a whole hullabaloo about God appearing to him? And the answer is that at the age of 99, a person feels accomplished. Certainly a person like Abraham. What's he doing, by the way? He's sitting in front of his tent in the intensity of an incredibly hot day. God made it incredibly hot because God didn't want any wayfarers to be wandering about, because Abraham would sit and invite all those who walked into his tent and offer them hospitality. But this was the third day after his circumcision, and he was recovering. He was weak. So in order to help Abraham recover, God made it incredibly hot. But no, Abraham still sat at the doorway to his tent looking who was going to walk so that he could invite them in, because Abraham was a man of chesed, a man of kindness. This was Abraham, a man whose life was absolutely dedicated to the highest ideals of God's values. He introduced the concept of one God to the world. It was a world of idolatry, of paganism. It was a world of immorality. He introduced ethical monotheism into the world. He taught the world what was right. He taught the world what was decent. He taught the world what was correct. There's one God. and there's a way that we have to behave based upon the moral principles of God's commandments. 99 years old, why does he have to circumcise himself? And yet that's what God wanted. And here is a man of 99, and he does just that. He reaches a far higher level of greatness, far greater than before. And when God reveals himself to Abraham, when God appears to Abraham at this time, it's an altogether different type of revelation. Yes, God appeared to Abraham a great many times before. But this time, the intensity of the revelation, the intensity of God's appearance, is far greater. Because Abraham has now elevated himself to a far greater level. Abraham, all these years, having done so much good, incredible things, he reached levels of, well, what I would consider, what everyone would consider, levels of absolute perfection. He went beyond that level. And when God appears to him, God appears at a far higher spiritual level. And this is what this parsha is all about. There's a new relationship between God and Abraham. A new relationship where Abraham elevated himself. God appears to him, elevates Abraham, in fact, to a higher level. And this is where the puzzle comes in. All his life, Abraham is tested by God. Tested by God. Not once, not twice, 10 times. Each test more difficult than the last. Wonder why. One test would have been enough. 2 tests, certainly 3, 5, 7. Why 10 tests? Does Abraham have to keep on proving his love for God, his devotion to God, his faith in God? But each test brings out a different dimension of Abraham's greatness and Abraham's great devotion to God and Abraham's great faith. Because at the end of the parsha, Abraham is tested with the ultimate nisayon, with the ultimate test, when God asks him to bind his son Yitzchak on the altar and offer him as a sacrifice to God. That really boggles the mind. In the parsha where God reveals himself at a higher level, revelation, God appearing, Abraham has proven himself again and again and again, and yet to have to prove himself in that sort of way, it boggles the mind. And at the very last moment, Isaac Yitzchak's life is spared. There are a great many answers, philosophical answers, theological answers, Kabbalistic answers. There's one answer that I like to talk about because it talks to us in terms of defining who we are. Because it talks to us about the great aspect of Jewish identity. And that is sacrifice. We are a people of sacrifice. But that's not where it stops. We are a people of sacrifice. And we are a people of survival. One goes with the other. Yes. We have tremendous sacrifice, as history has shown. But at the same time, we miraculously survive greater and greater and greater. And as I said earlier in the show, because we are an eternal people. And the only way you can be an eternal people is a combination of sacrifice and survival. Sacrifice only, you're gone. Survival only, you're nothing. But that combination of Mesirat Nefesh and survival and retaining your values and retaining your faith and retaining your devotion and retaining your commitment, now that is an indication of Am Yisrael Chai. The people of Israel live eternally, forever. And this is what we celebrate in this week's Pasha. And this is how we make sure that the month of Mar Cheshvan is a month when we celebrate the blessing of the rain, the the goodness of the rain. Gishmei Bracha, where the rain comes down and nurtures the earth and gives water to each and every single creature of God. And we live, and it brings food, it brings color, and it brings beauty, and it brings clarity, and it brings light. That's Gishmei Bracha. That's water, that's rain, that's blessed. Because we understand the combination of sacrifice and survival. That's what we understand. Yes, we are pained by the sacrifice. We don't take it lightly. It's not some martyr-like slogan that we throw around. It's something that we cry over, we grieve over. It's something which hurts us and hurts us deeply. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it lightly at all. It's something that we take with great, great sorrow. But at the same time, it's coupled with survival that we take with tremendous pride and tremendous joy and tremendous, tremendous strength. Yes, I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult to combine these two, sometimes opposites. How can you possibly connect the two? But that's who we are. And anyone who is, well, not only a student of history, but has even a cursory reading of Jewish history will understand those are the two elements that actually define who we are as a people, who we are as a nation, who we are as God's children upon earth with a mission as witnesses to Him as Creator. To Him as Creator of heaven and earth, to Him as those individuals who have to continue with the message of Abraham, of ethical monotheism, of speaking one God with a moral, ethical way of life. We pay for it. We pay for it with tremendous sacrifice, but we also celebrate with tremendous survival. These are the great opposites of life. The great, well, I wouldn't say conflict, but the great challenge of bringing together these two extremes of survival and sacrifice into Jewish life. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this incredible combination of sacrifice and survival. And when I say the word survival, I don't mean survival as, well, simply survival. I'm talking survival at the highest possible level. Survival with a tremendous sense of pride, a tremendous sense of greatness, not just creeping through history, but walking, marching with tremendous sense of pride, contributing to the world in a way that no one else does. Yes, we unfortunately sacrifice as no one else does as well, but we give to the world as no one else does. And this is why the Parsha is called Vayera, and God appears to Abraham. He brings him absolute clarity and insight. You must understand this is the way your people will function, and this is the way they will go through history because no one else will. Others may be a flash in the pan. Others may rise for a moment, for a generation, for 10 generations, but they will never, ever have this ongoing eternal dimension. The Jewish people have suffered, no question about it, and they do. But at the same time, the Jewish people can hold their heads high as no one else can. Because take a look at the Jewish people. Sit back honestly, objectively, without hate. Ask, what have the Jewish people given this world? I'm not talking only in terms of academia. I'm talking in practical terms. And you will see that what the Jewish people have given this world is extraordinary. And this is why it boggles the mind. Why, in fact, there are so many who hate the Jewish people. For what reason? And every single one of those reasons are meaningless. Because when you examine those reasons, they're shallow. They make no sense whatsoever. Who would have believed that in our lives, this age, at this stage of human development, there would be this tremendous rise of Jewish hatred? My answer? It's because we're doing something right. We're doing something that brings out this tremendous anti-feeling. We're doing something right. I believe that Yiddishkeit is growing. I believe that Yiddishkeit is flourishing. Yes, of course, we'll find here, there, problem situations. But by and large, we're doing great things. People are returning. God's law, God's word is rushing through this world with tremendous greatness. Vayera, God reveals himself in this world. In this parsha, we see again and again the influence of Abraham. God wants to destroy Saddam. They deserve to be destroyed. They're a cruel people, very cruel people. But yet, Abraham pleads that perhaps God should spare them, find X amount of righteous people. And God says, fine, if you find those people, I'll spare them. Can't find those people. What does it tell us? It tells us that despite the fact that Abraham knows that Saddam is a city that has to be destroyed, he finds it within his heart to try and defend them, because that's who we are. That's who we are. We look for the goodness in the world. Even for those who seemingly don't deserve it, we still look for the goodness in the world. And we try to plead their case in front of God. But God knows better sometimes, because God says there is no justification. Their behavior is beyond redemption. This is the world we live in. Vayera, God appears to Abraham, because ultimately human beings are limited in their vision, limited in their understanding, and they really don't know what's right and what's wrong. But we've lived through everything. We have lived through everything, literally through everything. And this is why our knowledge is altogether different. Our knowledge is altogether greater, because we are witnesses. There's a saying that none so wise as the person of experience. We have experienced everything. And because we've experienced everything, there is a deeper knowledge there. It's not an illusion. It's not something that we talk about, that we've heard. It's something that we have lived through. The Jewish people have lived through everything. And that's why we have the right to make the statements that we do. We make good statements. We make positive statements. We build, we give, we bring light, we bring beauty. We bring positive ideas and thinking into this world. That's what we do. And maybe that's why they hate us. It's a Shabbos project. I'm sure you're going to be in shul tomorrow. So when you're in shul, listen to the reading. This parsha is filled with incredible, incredible moments. Listen to every story. Listen to how God appears to Abraham, to the three wayfarers, actually angels disguised as people, blessing Abraham and Sarah that they'll have a son. Listen to the story of how Abraham pleads with God that he spare that evil, cruel city of Sodom, how God destroys the city of Sodom and he rescues Lot and his family. Listen to the bond that's made between Melech and Abraham. Listen to the story of Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Yitzchak. Listen to the story of the Akedah, the binding of Isaac on the altar. And listen, as I always say, to that particular passage that speaks to you, because when you hear it, it'll tell you something great. It'll tell you something personal. It'll tell you something that resonates in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. It'll tell you something that's important. And when it tells you something that's important, it will bring light into your life, meaning into your life, purpose into your life. And that's what Torah does. The book of truth, the book of life. Good Shabbos.